Well, guys, my name is Anatoly Bely, and I'm one of the people on pastoral staff here in Harbor City Church, also one of the elders. And today I have a privilege to share the Word of God with you. Pastor Joel is not around. We'll be continuing with a series that Pastor Joel started 2 weeks ago, Winning in a Season That We Are In. We discovered that as we live our life, we go through different seasons. Seasons change, they come and go, but there is a purpose that God has in every season. And there is certain thing that we can do and certain way we can position ourselves. So it doesn't matter what season we go through, we can come out of it as overcomers. Today, I'm speaking about season of tears. It's something that it's very relevant to me right now, so I'll be speaking to you from this season as I'm going through it myself. I'll be reading from Book of Luke, chapter 11, and as we read this very famous story, I would like you to try to imagine yourself like you one of the characters. Imagine yourself like you Lazarus. Imagine yourself like you Martha or Mary, or maybe one of the disciples, and try to feel it out how this story speaks to you if you were one of the participants. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent the word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, he went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across at the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did not I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say that for the benefit of these people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and clothes around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lazarus got sick. It could be you or someone you love, something you care about, something dear to you, something in your life. It could be your family, your children, your ministry, your finances, your career. Something in your life is not well. We don't like those seasons. It's a season we experience weakness. It's a season of struggles, pain, agony, loss. It's a season when you feel helpless. It's a season of tears. It's been a very tough season for Mary, for Martha, and for Lazarus. Martha and Mary did what we would do going through this season. They called for Jesus. Jesus, I'm in tears. I need your help. Come and rescue. Come and help me. John, twice as he was describing the story, he emphasized that Jesus loved this family. He cared for them. Nevertheless, even though he deeply cared for them, he decided not to go and respond to that plea to help right away. Bible said that he stayed where he was for two more days. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, they're face to face with pain. Time goes by, but things don't change. Welcome to the valley. Welcome to the season of tears. Unfortunately, this season left too many people bitter, disappointed. Many even lost their faith going through seasons like that. In this season, we're grappling with this question, why? Why it's happening to me? Lord, why did you allow such things happening in my life? And one of the struggles in this season is that often we don't get the answer to this question. Many people feel they wish we never had season like that. But as we discovered from previous messages, seasons come and go, and oftentimes we don't really have control over what kind of season comes our way. But what I want to tell you today is that this season, the seasons of tears, could be the richest season in your life. So how do we win? Is there a win in a season of tears? From this story, I would like to share with you three quick thoughts. Number one, when we go through the season of tears, be real. Be real. In our culture, being real is considered a weakness. We learn to create an optics that we hold ourselves together. We are fine. We are strong. We are in control. In this story, we see real people. We see people with real emotions, with real responses. We see Martha and Mary running to Jesus and saying almost in frustration, Jesus, we called on you. Why didn't you come? If you were there, that wouldn't happen. Our brother would still be alive. How come? What took you so long? We can see this frustration. We can see the pain raw come out. Besides that, we see Jesus wept. When he saw the pain and frustration of people around, of death of his friend, and how Martha and Mary, how they were grieving over the loss of their brother, Jesus wept. He was deeply moved in his spirit. Why did he weep? Because your pain, Jesus can feel your pain. He empathizes with your pain. Your pain moves the heart of God. Jesus wept. When you feel pain, it's okay to be real. Did you know that 1/3 of all the psalms in the Bible, they are laments? Lament is a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. Those were the prayers of people going through the seasons of pain in their lives. We could see real, raw emotions. We can see how they were not trying to hide their pain. When we experience pain in the season of tears, there are a few ways we can go about it. There are a few ways we can deal with pain. The simplest way is try to numb the pain. Try to escape it. Because we don't like how it feels, so we want to take a painkiller. This morning I woke up with a headache, and the first thing I know, I want to take a painkiller. I don't want to feel this pain because it's distracting. I want to get better. There are so many painkillers out there. Entertainment, alcohol, pornography, all these things that eventually lead to addictions. But people still run to those things because temporarily they give them relief. They numb the pain for a while. Another thing that people go to is excessive eating. That's particularly what I did in 2003 when I quit the ministry. And because of that, lots of my relationships became very bitter. And some people that I really admire, they lost their confidence and trusted me. And I didn't know how to process it. I was in a big, big pain, but I didn't really know how to deal with it. So I was eating like crazy. Every day, double cheeseburger, big fries, and Coke. I gained 50 pounds in all the span of 2 months. That was my go-to. That was my painkiller. When you try to numb the pain, when you try to stuff it inside and kind of almost hold yourself together, almost diminish, almost like reduce and say, no, it's okay, it's fine. What happens that your whole heart becomes hardened. It becomes like a stone. You start withdrawing from people. You become incapable to show affection. You become distant. You build the walls all around you to protect yourself from feeling even more pain. That's not the good way to deal with pain. There is only one way to deal with pain, which is embrace it. Feel it. Allow it to hit you. When you go through struggles, when you go through sufferings, when you go through loss, when you go through things that really causing you pain, allow it to really hit you. Feel it. Yes, embracing your pain will make you feel weak. It will make you feel like you're reaching the capacity of limit of your capacity, like you can't handle it anymore. It makes you feel helpless. But that will lead you at the feet of Jesus. When you feel like you're losing control and you can't handle it anymore, that what will lead you at the feet of Jesus, where you will find strength and comfort. There your faith will be deepened. At the limit of your capacity, that's where we encounter God's grace. That's where we learn to lean on His grace. And that grace that sustains us and carries us through the seasons of tears. It's okay to feel frustrated when you go through sufferings, through trials, for testings in your life. It's okay to weep. It's okay to be human. It's okay to ask for help. By being real like that, actually what we're doing, we're practicing humility. I'm admitting that I'm not God. I'm not in control. I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I do have limits. I need help. Growing up in Ukraine, I had to be strong. I lost my father. My father died when I was 6 years old. I couldn't afford showing weakness. I had to create an optics that I'm strong. I had to deal with many tough things in my childhood. I couldn't afford being weak or making so other people would see me as a weak. Nothing could take me down. It was so important for me to look strong to other people. Actually, I despised weakness in me or in others. I'll be honest with you. When I saw some people, especially who I look to as leaders, and they would express their weakness and somehow I despise it. Something like, I didn't like that. For some reason, did sit right with me. And I also despised weakness in me. So I would pretend, no, I'm strong. I can handle it. I can go through it. I can take it. Nothing can take me down. But everything changed for me on February 24th of this year. when I saw my country being so ruthlessly torn apart, when I started to hear stories after stories after stories after stories of people who I love, people who I deeply care about, going through unbearable pain and losses and death, and their wives and daughters being raped and their houses being burned to the ground or ruined. I just remember I was in Germany. I was on my way to Uganda to work on preparation for our crusade, and I landed in Germany, and I saw these messages coming my way from my mother and from other people. And for a couple days, I mean, like 2 days, I held myself together. Okay, it's going to be fine. You know, we'll go through it. No biggie. That's fine. Big deal. War. We'll go through it. Then I was talking to Natalie on the phone, and she said, "I can't handle it. I can't lead worship." She was supposed to lead worship on Wednesday night. "I don't feel well. I think it's heavy. It's heavier than I can handle." Elizabeth, my daughter, was saying the same. And I was like, "Come on, guys, get your hopes up. It's going to be fine. We will." So I was still doing my thing. We are strong. But then at some point, I felt like I hit the wall. I couldn't handle it anymore. Those stories became so overwhelming. I could not handle it anymore. I felt so helpless. I encountered so much pain that my people that I love, they go through, that I could not handle it anymore. I experienced some emotions I didn't even know existed. I felt such anger and fury and bitterness. I never even knew that some of those emotions actually existed. I could feel like I was reaching the limit of my ability to hold myself together. I was in Uganda. I was meeting pastors. We were getting ready for a crusade, and I was trying my best just to kind of keep myself together, but I couldn't wait till I can get to my hotel room, lay on the floor and weep and pray for my country, pray for people I love, pray for my mother. At some point, I felt like I ran out of tears. I still want to cry, but it seems like I couldn't cry anymore. At some point, felt like I ran out of emotions. Seems like I couldn't feel anymore. I decided to be real. I decided not to try to get painkillers, but I allowed this pain to really hit me. I felt like I was melting down. That brought me to my knees. That brought me to my knees. And there I discovered a new level of grace that I have never even knew existed. That grace that have been sustaining me and still sustaining me till now. When we choose to be real, when we lay down our defenses, it allows our heart to remain soft. Like little children, we run to our father for help. We cry, "Daddy, I can't handle it. Help, help." And that's where our weakness meets his strength. That's where our weakness meets his grace. Be real. Number two, daily remind yourself that God is for you. We're all familiar with Job. It's a character in the Bible. He had a season of tears that he was going through. And then he had the three friends who came. And what they were doing, they were blaming him. Pretty much they were telling them, "You experience all these bad things. You experience all these sufferings because you screwed up. Because you did something wrong. Because God is against you. Because God doesn't love you. God doesn't care you. So you need to repent. You have some sin in your life." So they were pointing fingers at him. That's what religion does. God is against you. That's why you're in such a place. That's why you have all these losses. Because you did something wrong. But that's a lie. The truth is that God has your best interest in his heart always. Always. You should never doubt that. Why Jesus delay? Why did he delay? It was bothering me. Like how Bible said that when he heard about his friend Lazarus dying, he decided to stay where he was for 2 more days. Why wouldn't he run right there, try to help and heal before it's too late? We don't know all the answers, but we have an insight that the Bible gives us in this story. Look how Jesus replied, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." First of all, it didn't catch God by surprise. None of that you go through, it's not catching God by surprise. He was showing that even though he was remoted, he had full control over the situation. He knew exactly how the situation is going to end. And then, Jesus wanted to reveal himself to his disciples, to Martha, to Mary, to Lazarus, in the ways that they had never experienced before. He wanted them to encounter the glory of God. That was the purpose. We read, he says here, "So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake,'" just listen to this, I am glad I was not there, so you may believe." Think about it. All of them, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they actually received more than they were asking for. They were asking for healing, but they received a resurrection. Once you experience resurrection, you can never be the same. It changes you forever. The way you experience God's glory in a season of tears changes you forever. Here on the screen, you will see a picture of a family. It's a good friend of mine's. Denise and Lena. This picture was taken in Ukraine just about 6-7 weeks ago when I was there. This young family lived in a city called Bucha, right next to Kyiv. It's a city where young families go to just to build their homes. Lots of playgrounds, lots of schools. It used to be a great city, very pleasant for people to be there. When war started in February 24th, lots of people were leaving. They were trying to find a way how to get out of Bucha. But when they prayed, God told them to stay. God told them, "No, I want you to stay." They assumed that it means that maybe somehow God will protect Bucha and somehow nothing bad will happen to it. But unfortunately, their assumption was wrong. Their town was occupied by Russian forces. It was heavily bombed first and shelled. They had to hide in the basements and pretty much running for you. Like next picture here, yeah, it's like over there in the background. That's the house where they were, so they could witness all these destructions happening right in front of them. While they were there, Russian soldiers tried to take her husband, Denise, for a few times. And what they were doing, they were taking young men, putting them in the basement. They were tying their hands behind their back. And later we found out that when Ukrainians repossessed this area, they were executing those young men. They were just finding them laying with the bullets in their heads. But Lena, his wife, she was preaching the gospel to those Russian soldiers. And she was so bold. And somehow they said, "Oh, I will come back for him later." As they were hiding in those basements, they became the source of hope for people around them. They had opportunity to minister, to pray for multitude of neighbors. They were the only one Christians, and people were getting closer to them because they were only one to really keep calm. So they were able to share the word of God and hope of salvation. They saw so many people coming to Christ in this time. And then there was one day when God told them, "It's time to go. You need to gather all your neighbors and you need to get out of there." So she said all the neighbors, "Okay, guys, we will try to make a run. So if you want to be with us, let's do it." So I think it was about 70 people gathered together, and they decided to, it was about 5 miles road, lots of mines. You go right in the midst of a crossfire. You see tanks here and there. So pretty much you realize that you can die there any moment. And there you have this group of 70 people trying to navigate, trying to watch for mines. They were holding their kids. This is what they told me when I asked them, how did it happen? She said, when we were going, it was about probably 3 hours they were on the road. She was holding her daughter tight. And then she said, "I felt like somebody held my arm so strongly, almost to the point of pain physically." For all this time they were going. So as they get to the safety and they end up getting to the safe place, next morning she actually could see on her arm the imprints of fingers, like a rat, you know, somebody squeezes your arms that strong. So as they were telling the story, and both Denise and Lennon, they were crying, and this is what they're saying. The way we experienced God, we couldn't even know it was possible. His presence was so tangible. His glory was so near. And they said, it was worth it. It was worth it. Instead of feeling pity or kind of, they were excited. Yes, they went through hell. Yes, they went through fears. Yes, they witnessed lots of atrocities and lots of pain. But in the midst of it all, God met them in a way that changed them forever. Their faith will never remain the same. Their confidence in God will never remain the same. Now they become heroes of faith. And I know for sure that their life going forward will be changed. And just as a bonus, when all the neighbors were coming back to Bucha after Ukrainian forces pushed Russians out, they were taking pictures of cars. So you can see all these pictures here, those are the vehicles that were in the courtyard of their apartment buildings. And they were all grieving, oh, you know, our cars are broken. But then they took picture of their car. It's the next picture here. It stands right there untouched, not even scratch on their vehicle. All around, all these cars laying around with bullet holes and not even a scratch. It's a little thing, but God even protected their vehicle. For them, it's just a testimony how faithful God is. I believe that Lazarus, after he rose from the dead, he would say, you know what? It was worth it. It was scary. That sickness was terrible. Dying was no fun. But oh boy, experiencing resurrection was lots of fun. Can I do it again? When you experience God's glory, it overrides all the pains that you may experience going through the season of tears. My mom, many of you know a little bit of the story of my mother. I shared it a few times, and I'm so thankful to many of you for your prayers and for your financial support. And it meant so much. Even your messages you were sending, asking and saying that you're praying for her, it meant so much. About 23 years ago, my mother and her husband, they went to a city called Rubizhne, which is in the eastern part of Ukraine. It's a Donbas region, to plant a church. They spent all this time there working hard, planting churches, loving on these people. It was their home. But when war started, I was begging my mom. I said, Mom, please get out of there. I know it's going to be tough. I know that your city right there next to Russian borders, they will come after you. Run. I'm begging you. I was pleading with her, but she said, you know, when we pray, we feel Holy Spirit asking us to stay. I don't know why, but we can't disobey. Our people are here. We feel like we must stay. And I could admire it as, you know, as my fellow sister and brother, but as my mother, I was frustrated with her. Mom, I need you alive. Please come. Please run. But she decided to stay. And then at some point, their city became a mess. You can see the next picture here. It's a city of Rubizhne. Like this is actually on that picture in the far corner, there's my mom's street right there. So their city was heavily shelled, heavily bombed. They were cut off of food supply, water supply. Even running water was damaged. They didn't have any water. They didn't have gas, no power, no electricity, nothing. For some time, I even lost connection with her because even like all the phone line were damaged as well. So they were staying in this place. It's like being right in the pit of hell. But my mom, this is what she was saying. When I came, and long story short, she managed to get out of there. It was a miraculous escape, and I can share with you sometimes later. But I came to Ukraine to see her and said, Mom, how are you doing? Tell me what, you know, because I didn't know what to expect. In my heart, actually, I think I buried her already. In my heart, I thought I will never see her alive. But when I met her again, I didn't know what to expect, what kind of mental shape she's in, and if she's hurt or not, or she's malnourished or not. So I'm like, Mom, how are you? So she was telling me with this excitement in her eyes. She was telling me stories after stories after stories of God's faithfulness, of miracles that he was doing, of protection and provision. And then she said that their apartment was the only one who still had windows attached. All the other apartments in their building, windows were smashed. So it was still beginning of March. It was cold. So lots of people were coming to their apartment just to warm up. And they had opportunity to preach and pray. So many people came to Christ. They saw some healings. She said that during those bombings, when you see explosions, you see tanks on the street, you see dead bodies laying around. And when we were worshiping God in our apartment, we felt presence of God was so tangible. We experienced God in such way we could never even thought possible. And she told me the same, you know what, it was worth it. It was worth it. And when I saw in her eyes, I just couldn't. I thought I would see broken woman that barely can hold herself together. But I saw a warrior. Something happened to her in this valley. And this is what she told me. God entrusted us to be here in such a time as this. He chose us for this time. This was what was her response. When you go through the season of tears, God is doing something deep and precious in you that will change you forever. He wants to draw you near to his heart like never before. Psalmist says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. There is a sense of intimacy and closeness with God that we experience when we go through the season of tears. I want to read you this poem that I think really speaks into this. One night I dreamt a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said, once I decided to follow you, you will walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you. And I will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. All these people I talked to in Ukraine, they experienced that in their season of tears, they experienced such a closeness. They felt so close to God. His presence was so tangible to them. Don't waste your valleys. Don't waste your tears. How can we waste our tears? By becoming bitter, by blaming others. It's not the time for it. When you go through the season of tears, when you go through pain and sufferings, it's a time to draw near to God like never before. God is perfect in all of his ways, even in a season of tears. He has your best interest in his heart for you. He is for you. Don't forget that. Remind yourself that God is for you. And my last thought is this. When you go through the season of tears, gaze upon the love of God. John emphasized twice in the story that Jesus loved this family. Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Knowing how much God loves you, really, really knowing how much God loves you, that what gives you strength in a season of tears. Apostle Paul says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, and you can add, or sickness or war? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The love of God, that what gives us strength to overcome, to stay strong, and to go through season of tears. Through all these things that he listed here, what devil tries to do? He tries to convince you, see, God doesn't care about you. If God really loved you, he would never let you struggle like that. He will never have your relative die from cancer. He will never allow your kid get to this accident. See, God doesn't care. This is the voice of an enemy, which is lie. How a loving God could allow such a suffering. If you forget all that I said so far, guys, I want you to remember this one thing, because this is what will sustain you. This is what will hold you going through the season of tears. Absence of suffering is not the proof of God's love, but Him suffering with us and Him suffering for us is. The biggest proof of God's love is the cross of Christ. It shows how far God went to be in suffering with us and for us. At the cross, he experienced the cosmic, the ultimate suffering, so that one day he could end all the evil without ending us. So one day we have this hope that one day all our sufferings will end and all our tears will be turned into joy. God, why did you allow this war? Why did you allow all this pain? Why? How come you could allow all the things to happen? You may ask yourself these questions. Lord, why? 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 Let's take this question to the cross. The cross may not tell you what the answer to this question is, but the cross can tell you what the answer to this question isn't, what it can't be. It can't be that he doesn't love us. It can't be that he doesn't care. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Going through the season of tears, look at the cross. Look at his love for you. Remind yourself how deep is a father's love for you. Draw closer to him. Draw near. Let your season of tears become a time of sweet intimacy with God. Let it become a place where you encounter God in a new way, in a way you never encountered him before. There's a sweetness that can be found in a season of tears, like in no other season. My last scripture is this, Psalm 56. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of. You have recorded each one in your book. God sees your tears and he can feel your pain. Going through the season of tears, lean in into God's grace. Draw closer to him. Let him carry you through this season. Let him pick you up and carry you through your season of tears. Be real with God. Remember that he is for you, and fix your love, your eyes at the love of God. Let's stand and close this prayer. We have different tears. We all go through different seasons. Our circumstances are different. Our sufferings are different. Our pains are different. Today, I would like us to pray for each other. I would like you to be real in the sense that if you really go through the season of tears in your life, I would like you just to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. What I want to do, I want to ask people around you just to pray for you. So if you're today, this morning, and you can tell, actually, I am going through the season of tears. Actually, I am going through pain right now. Can you please raise your hand? And I'll be the first one, because this is exactly where I'm right now. I can see hands all over this building. So guys, I would like to ask, if you see in front of you or next to you, you see a person who raised his hand, would you come? You don't need to ask. You don't need to ask what kind of pain you have, what kind of suffering you go through. Would you just come and just lay your hands and pray for this person? Ask for God's strength. Ask for God's grace for this person to go through the season of tears. Let's be a body. Let's minister to one another. Lord, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who are going through the season of tears in their life, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, so you would just draw them close to you. I'm asking so you would let them experience your presence in such a tangible way like they have never experienced before. I'm asking you so you would pour out your love in their hearts by your Holy Spirit like they have never experienced before. I'm asking so they would encounter, they would experience the embrace, your Father's embrace, so they would feel how close you are to them. Give them strength. Lord, draw them deeper into your grace to sustain them and to carry them through the season of tears in their lives. And I'm asking and praying so when they come out on the other side, their faith will be stronger. They will be deepened and even deeply more rooted in your love and in you, Lord. We thank you. And this morning, Lord, we choose to bless your name. We choose to worship you. Doesn't matter what season we go through. Even if we go through sufferings, even if we go through pain, Lord, we worship you. And we declare that you are good. We declare that you are good, that you are loving Father. And we love you. And we bless your name. And we worship you. Amen. Amen. Guys, it was it for me. Thank you.